Happy Monday to everyone out there. Hopefully your Monday is going well. We know how Mondays can go, and hopefully yours is going in the right direction. Ah, today is August the 9th, 2021. Can you believe we're here already? And guess what? We only have 4 more months to go before it's Christmas. Have you already begun to make your Christmas list? You better get busy. We'll be looking at it in a blink of an eye. And don't forget Thanksgiving. You better get your invitations out and get all your trimmings and all your lists together about what you want to have and who you want to have at your home. Well, welcome. You're listening to A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Rive. This show is live, and we also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Also, you can download a free app. You can find this in your Play Store, okay? And download the app. The name of the app is Tune In. And once you download it, please search WWGH, because there are a number of programs there, but you will find WWGH in a small print. Okay, it's there, and you always have that app on your phone, just like other apps, and it's free. Okay, if you would like to call in, touch bases with us during this show, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. And we have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce. This will take place August the 21st, and it will begin at 12 noon until 2 p.m. So if you have need of free produce, mark your calendars, and if you know someone else who could use free produce, please let them know. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. The owner, Cheryl Lee, location, LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. I say last but not least, but those of you who faithfully listen, thank you for your support, and it may be your first time tuning into the show, and thank you for doing that, and hopefully we'll have a good show for you today. Okay, I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. It is titled, Be Unlimited, and we will see what this thought will bring to us today. Hold on a minute. Okay, I have it. Short and sweet. Every thought I create. Come on. Where'd you go? Every thought I create is energy which produces its own current. In quietness, I step inside and connect to my original quality of peace. This releases me from limitations, and I can help to heal the heart of the world. All right? That sounds good. I like peace, too. It helps heal me. Absolutely. Now, let me turn my thought and my attention to my guest today, Dana Booker. How are you today, Dana?
I'm doing good, Linda. Always a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. I enjoy you being here also. Yes. And you look good today.
Thank you so much. I've been working on a couple things. Thank you.
All right.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
You too.
Yes. Trying to do my best. Honey.
That's all we can do. At least we try.
Yes, at least we try. Absolutely. Yes. Wow. So, Dana, could you please introduce yourself to our listeners? Many people in our community do know you, but maybe everyone who is listening does not. So go ahead.
Yeah. So my name is Dana Hanif Booker. I live here in Marion with my family. I'm a wife and the mother of three. I work here at Heartland Hospice. Okay. I'm a volunteer coordinator.
Okay.
I recruit individuals and train them to be friendly visitors for our hospice patients. I do enjoy the work that I do. Some people, it's not their cup of tea, but right. I thank God that, you know, He blessed me with the ability to move forward with that, mm-hmm. to comfort people and family during the dying process. Mm-hmm. So I truly love my job, and I'm always looking for volunteers. Okay. So if anyone in your audience wants to learn more about what it is to be a hospice volunteer,
right.
I'd be more than happy to have a conversation with them.
Whoa. And that's a very important piece of work.
It is. And I have even gone to churches, have reached out to me and asked me to speak with their ministers in training on the dying process. Right. So I also educate people on what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has experienced that. And if you haven't, you don't know what to expect.
True.
And so it could be scary or uncomfortable, mm-hmm. or a lot of people are in denial.
Right.
So I do offer a training. I give materials. I give a binder and books. And I just walk people through the dying process in a peaceful way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a very important job.
It is. I never thought that I would be in this profession. But boom. God just threw it in my lap. He said, I got you.
Amen.
I try this out.
Amen.
And I love it. I really do love it. I never expected it.
To bring peace and comfort to people who are losing their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's big.
It's huge. It's huge. And the gratitude that the families give after the transition, it is just so humbling.
Mm.
Because, you know, it makes... It makes you feel like I am doing my job. Mm-hmm. I am doing my part.
Right.
And then we follow the family for 13 months after their loved one has passed on. We follow the family for 13 months every month. So we have a bereavement coordinator also.
There you
and
are.
That's what their job is. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a wonderful program. And I tell people we all do the same thing. There's several hospice entities out there. We all do the same thing. We all follow the same guideline. There's no competition. And, you know, like I tell people, there's enough to go around.
Wow.
You know, there's enough to go around. So.
Wow. I don't know if I would even think of being in that type of profession. Like you said, you didn't either, but there you are and you love it, you know.
I do.
It has to be very rewarding.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Even with the outcome, it is rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Hospice. Well, you have someone that you can call on if you need her. Dana Booker.
Yep.
Wow.
Give me a call. You know, I love talking to people that, you know, they may have a friend or a loved one that may need to go on to hospice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more than happy to guide them in the right direction. But I will say this. People don't go on hospice because they're on their deathbed.
Oh, okay.
People go on hospice because it's a misconception. People think when you hear the word hospice,
you're dying.
Mm-hmm. And it is just so taboo and been embedded in so many people unless they've been educated about
it.
Right. So let me educate you a little bit.
Okay.
So the only way that you can go on to hospice is you have to have a terminal illness.
Okay.
A terminal illness does not mean that you're going to die. It just means you've been diagnosed with a terminal illness. And hospice comes in to make you as comfortable as they can while you're going through that process. So sometimes people are on our services for 3 months. We've taken care of their needs. And they no longer have a terminal illness. I'm not saying that's the case for everyone.
True.
But I'm saying people can graduate off a hospice.
You had a turnaround in their house.
Absolutely. Yes. We love those cases. Love those cases.
I'm sure you do.
Yes. And then there are those, they could be on our services for 3 months. Mm-hmm. They could be on our services for 3 years. And I love those stories too, because it means that even though this person was diagnosed with a terminal illness of maybe 6 months, you know, because of our services, we were able to help them live a comfortable life, mm-hmm. for an additional 3 years.
Okay.
So it works both ways.
Right.
But unfortunately, not enough people seek hospice, even though they may be advised to, mm-hmm. take hospice. They refuse to. And unfortunately, we get them at the last leg.
Okay.
And that breaks our heart. It honestly breaks our heart, because we could have made their life so much more comfortable,
right.
With the resources that we have.
Right.
So, yeah, I would love to educate anyone, talk about hospice, answer any questions. If I can't answer their questions, I got a slew of people that I work with that can. But, yeah, I do enjoy what I do.
That was so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I missed that. I mean, this is not your first time here, but...
No.
I'm glad I told you, just open up the door.
Yes. And thank you. Thank you for that.
You're so welcome. Mm-hmm. So welcome. Mm-hmm. Wow. I didn't have any questions. I said, I like to go with the flow
sometimes. You do. I love it. That's why I jotted some stuff down. I said, let me be prepared for when I go see Miss Linda. And that was one of the things that I wrote down.
Well, good.
Was that. And we're always looking for volunteers. So.
That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is like being in the labor room and helping the baby come to the world.
Absolutely. You know? I never looked at it like that.
Yeah.
But it is the other spectrum of it.
The other spectrum.
It's the other spectrum of it, because you typically have a family member in the room with you, comforting you.
Right.
You know, talking to you,
the
getting
childbirth,
you.
Yes.
Yeah, getting you through those, what they call them, contractions. Getting you through them contractions, yeah. And that's on the other spectrum with hospice. That's what our volunteers do.
Mm-hmm.
They just provide comfort. We play music. We come in with instruments. I have some volunteers that have dogs that provide comfort. We read to them. We watch TV with them. We take them out for walks. There's a variety of things that we can do. And but when I train volunteers, I train them where they're at. I don't expect you to, you know, play the violin. And no, mm-hmm. I try to learn my volunteers and try to place them with patients that would be a good fit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't expect any more out of them than they can
then
give.
They can give because it's voluntary. You know, they can go on their own time, you know, Monday through Saturday, morning, afternoon, evening. And, you know, some patients just want you to watch Jeopardy with them. Mm-hmm. You know, you watch Jeopardy, you want somebody to hear you answer some of the questions. You be in there by yourself answering the questions. But, yeah, some patients are like Jeopardy, and volunteers will go and just sit with them from, you know, 7 to 7:30 in the evening and watch Jeopardy. And, you know, you just don't know. That means the world to them. It means the world to them.
I could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, one day we're all going to have to go that way. But then you said everybody that has, who comes to hospice, mm-hmm. doesn't mean they're dying. They just have a terminal illness.
They've been diagnosed with a terminal illness.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that can be turned around.
It can, in some cases, it can be turned around.
Yeah.
But in our case, we hope that it turns around.
Right.
But at least we can provide the comfort measures to keep the person comfortable,
mm-hmm.
so they can live out the best days of their life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-mm-mm. And I didn't know you was the mother of 3 children. I had no idea you had 3 children.
I love when people ask me that, because I claim all mine. So my husband and I, we will have been married 14 years this November.
It doesn't seem like it, though, does it?
It seems like it's been longer than that. But that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
And so he has 2 kids.
Okay.
And then I had a son.
Okay.
So we have a blended family.
That's beautiful, though.
Yeah. So they're not my stepkids or nothing like that. They are my children. I love them.
Yes.
I adore my daughter.
Yes.
And I love my 2 sons.
She's evolved into a beautiful young lady.
Oh my goodness, she called me yesterday and talk. So I said, I'm not going to get a word in edgewise. So I'm just going to, I went out, sat on the porch and just let her talk. But she's doing great. I'm very proud of her. I am very proud of the young woman that she's become. She works for a financial institution.
Okay.
And she graduated from Kent State in money management, that type of thing. And she was able to find a job doing what she loves to do, and she's doing very well.
That's good. That's a great college too, Kent State.
It is.
Yeah, kind of expensive, but it's still good. Mm-hmm. One of the best.
Yeah. Most of the people that go to Kent State graduate in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
They put you on the track and help you succeed. So
that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
beautiful. Just don't leave you out there hanging.
No, she did very well.
Good.
That's what we talked about yesterday, because my youngest son just graduated.
I was going to ask you about
Tyler.
That.
Yeah, he just graduated.
It's so hard to even understand that he's graduated.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. So he initially was going to go to Kent State, but he is going to start off here at OSUM.
Okay.
And then for 2 years, and then he's going to transfer to Kent State.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's my homebody. He's my homebody son.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mama's boy.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny with kids is we have expectations for them.
Yes,
you
we
know,
do.
In our mind. And I finally had to say, you know what? I've done everything I can on that end.
Right.
I said, he's not ready to go to a 4-year university. He's still a homebody.
Right.
He isn't ready. And I said, I'm not going to push him.
No.
So we talked as a family, and I was like, take you some classes at OSUM.
Right.
Get familiar with that lifestyle.
Right, absolutely.
And then we'll work on a program for you to track plan to go to Kent State.
Right.
And he said, okay, Mom. See, I said, I know I'm right. I just need you to come on board with me, okay? I need you to understand it.
Right.
And so that's kind of where we at, yeah.
But that's a good place to be, because you do not want to push him out there. My grandson, the baby boy, he's going to Tri Rivers.
Good.
I'm getting him a trade.
That's what's up.
You know, so, and plus they certify you, like you say, Kent State, they follow you along, make sure you're employed, and he wants his own business. And I'm thinking, college is just not for everybody.
It's not. It is not for everybody. And not everybody is ready to take on the world when they graduate and turn 18.
No, they're not.
And I had to step back. Right. I said, wait a minute. You know, let me get a feel for what he want to do. You know, because we talk college. We want our kids to do, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, no, we're going to go a different route.
Right, right.
And he was on board with it. But he really does want to go to Kent State.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but we just had to alter the plan a little bit to suit his needs.
Yes.
Not mine, his.
Right.
But
he has to live that life. It's his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we get lost in our own lives and what we want for our kids, you know.
Yeah.
We want the best for them. There's nothing wrong with wanting the best.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, we have to take them into consideration and where they are, you know.
Yes.
So, hey, that's a good thing.
It is.
That's a good thing.
I'll keep you posted.
Well, hopefully, you'll be back and forth on the show.
Yeah.
God bless and say the same. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know you said you jot down some things.
I did.
Yeah. So, where you want to go now? You want to go to you running for...
We'll do that last.
Okay, we'll do that last.
I want to talk about the Peace and Freedom Committee.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, Miss Laura Troutman had put this into the atmosphere. She said, we need a building. We need a building.
Right.
And this was probably about maybe 4 years ago.
Okay.
We envisioned this. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's get a building. We don't have the money to get no building. Okay, right. At that time, we still don't. Like, but look at God, right?
Yes.
So we were fortunate enough to, Pillar, well, it was Marion Community Credit Union, now Pillar, they have a building over on the west side, which is right by Martin Luther King. Is it Boulevard? Martin Luther King? Avenue. Mm-hmm. Okay, right by that street. It used to be Marion Matters.
Yes.
So I am proud to say that we have signed a lease for 2 years.
Okay.
With Pillar Bank. And so we are officially in the building. You should see it. We had a meeting a couple weeks ago, a little retreat to get vision on where we want to go in this building. And so we had the committee come, the executive board committee. And so we have posters all over in every room. We have 3 or 4 posters in every room, okay. Every nook and cranny in this building with visions on it.
Okay.
Things that we need on the inside of the basic things like cleaning supplies and those type of things.
Right.
And then we have, you know, do we want a media area over here with, you know, laptop stations and that type of thing.
Right.
And then we have a lounge, small area for a lounge where we might be able to have, you know, an author or a speaker or somebody come in and maybe speak to children or adults or something on that nature. Mm-hmm. We have a large area where, you know, we could do multiple things. And then we also have like a small conference room. So we are just coming together because we all have different personalities,
right,
and visions, and so everyone just walked around the room, and we wrote on the boards what we felt where the paper was,
right.
what we felt needed to be in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it wasn't just one person saying, "I want this here."
Right.
No, everybody's vision was on the wall, right?
Right.
So the goal was when we finished up, we were going to pray, right? Who knocks on the door? Now, nobody wants to be there but us. You had mentioned Logos is
yes.
one of your sponsors.
Yes.
Here we look up, and Pastor Jackie Peterson is knocking on the door, right?
Uh-huh.
And we were just finishing up getting ready to pray
right.
over everything. She's knocking the door. The first thing she said, she was on her way home, coming down 309. She was like, "Wait a minute. I know that car, that car, that car." She knew everybody's car, right?
Right, right.
I said, "That's why you can't go nowhere, man.
No,
people don't
true.
Recognize your car."
That's true.
So she came in at the right time. So she came in and we walked around and blessed all of the visions mm-hmm. that we had on the things. So I'm excited to say that our founder, Laura Troutman, who started the Martin Luther King Breakfast for
yes,
Marion Community.
Yes.
It has grown. There's mm-hmm. other things that we do throughout the year. The women's ladies hats off to you luncheon.
Right, right.
Excited to say that we have the J.W. Harris Scholarship Fund.
Right.
That is successful.
Oh, good.
And so we're very community oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And we have big hearts. So that's where we're at. The address is 790 Kenton Avenue, and that is the new Peace and Freedom Committee building. And right, you know, we're not open for business or anything like that. We are still in our planning process, but definitely want to have an impact in the community over there,
mm-hmm.
as well as our community in the city of Marion. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Well, please do.
I will. Do. I will.
I feel just like she did. Yes, absolutely need a building.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And hopefully other entities will be able to have their own spots and
mm-hmm.
do you know,
mm-hmm.
even though we come together, you know, but
right.
it's necessary.
It is.
Yes,
it is. I'm
necessary.
Excited to see, you know, what comes of it and how that
Me
grows.
Too. Yes,
how
absolutely.
That, how that grows too. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so it was exciting. Even during COVID, things happened. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
even during
yes,
COVID,
yes.
and all of this happened during that. You know, we've been in the planning process for this building for over a year,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
probably a year and a half.
Right.
And so here we are today, girl. We got keys, alarm codes. Listen, look at God. Yes, yes. And I got you.
We must give him a hand.
Absolutely, because it didn't happen overnight. There was labor. that's been put into this organization,
right.
Labor.
Yeah.
People that love it and labor and believe in the mission. And I just thank God that he said, okay, I'm not going to give you rest, but I'm going to give you your own building. And I just, I thank Pillar for giving us the opportunity.
Yes.
And just look for us to continue to grow.
Amen.
We on the west side.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
That makes me feel like it's up and growing.
Yes.
West side.
It is.
It has been forgotten for so long.
Mm-hmm,
you know, the buildings, the homes, and all that. And
yeah,
I know,
Blight to Beauty.
Yeah.
Blight to beauty.
Absolutely.
That's taken off, and it's a work in process.
Yes, it is.
And that's and I'm hoping that that will spark even more of that type of movement.
Right.
Because we need more housing. We need more housing in Marion.
Affordable.
And livable. Housing. And we need
livable.
Ownership.
Yes, ownership.
We need ownership so people can take care of their own. People can manage their money better with ownership than they can with renting. And I'm so fearful for the younger generation that are renting and that have families. The rent is so high in our community.
Yes, it is.
And I know it's a business. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But
it's unbelievable for Marion, I think.
It is. It is.
$800-$900. Oh, my.
A month.
Thousand, yeah.
And you got daycare. You got kids. You work. You know, whatever the circumstances is.
Right.
Whatever the circumstances are. I would rather see people on a track of home ownership than renting, because you can't control that. And if they say, you know, we want you out in 30 days, you got to work, you got kids, you might have a parent that you're taking care of, and you have to take that and find another place to live.
True.
And I just don't think it's fair that you may not have enough money for first and last month rent.
True.
So young people come to me, I tell them this. I say, listen, get you in a bank account, and you figure out what you can budget for, and you put that certain amount of money in that account for your home. For your home.
Yes, for your home.
Just and what I said, you might have to skimp and scrape. But you put money in that account for a home, because when you have a down payment on a home, you have more control over what you want to get.
True.
And I said, I would rather for you, I'm just giving some advice. I would rather for you have control than for them to say, well, you can only live in this area. This is the amount that you work with. No. You can live wherever you want.
Right.
You start saving that money and then start looking for houses and you'll see the vision.
That's true.
So that's what I tell the young people. Start saving your money. You know, just save it. You save it for your phones and your vacations and your trips and clothes. It's
save
okay.
It for
good.
Your house.
Have fun with that.
Right.
But save money. Get you some property.
Yes.
Get you some. My husband, I'm 50, he's 60, and we just bought our first home in October.
Okay.
And I tell you what, and the reason we did it was because our rent was going up. We were renting a house, and the rent was going up. And I told my husband, I said, with you probably retiring in a few years, I said, we need to lock our payment in. It's not that I didn't like where I lived, but
yours either.
They controlled the rent.
Yes.
And in my mind, that was controlling my finances.
Yes.
I don't want nobody controlling them but me.
Right.
And so that's why we started looking for a home. We looked for a home for almost 3 years.
Okay.
And we saved. Mm-hmm. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to save. But we did it. We did it. Yeah.
That's what's important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you bit the bullet and you went on and did what you needed to do. And
I'm glad that part is over.
And I've always known that about home ownership.
You
know, I bought my first home maybe when I was 19 or 20.
Oh, you go, girl.
Yeah. We didn't go renting. We rented our first place, but then the second house we bought. We
nice.
That. Yeah.
Nice.
Because you have to think outside the box. Because you want something that you can fall back on. You know, just like I tell mine, which I'm still beating them with words, home ownership. You need a home. You need property. You know, that's where we fail.
We don't. We tell them. We tell
that's
them.
That's where we fail as black people, period.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to go on rent. Oh, I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to have to mow my own grass.
You can pay somebody to do that.
Yes, you
can. If you can't do it, you can pay somebody to do it. Yeah. And it's the best move that we made.
It
because
is.
Now we have an investment.
Yes, you do.
Now we have something to work with.
Yes, you
something
do.
Something to fall back on, like
yes, you
said.
Do.
Yeah. And you know, we control what we pay.
And your house is your bank.
Ain't it so, girl? Listen, it is. And, you know, I just want to keep encouraging young people.
Yes, absolutely.
Get you some property.
Yes.
Get you some property. Even the ones that don't look good. Because we bought our house and we had to rehab it.
Okay.
And even with us buying it and rehabbing it, mm-hmm. we're still ahead.
Amen.
Because now the property value is worth more than what we paid for it and what we put into
right.
it. And that's what I want to tell people.
Yes.
Get you some property.
Yes.
Research in your area where you want to live
mm-hmm.
and start saving for it.
Right.
Start saving for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Make the impossible possible.
Possible.
Because a lot of people think, oh, I can't do it. Yes,
yes, you can.
You can do that.
Yes, you can.
With discipline, you know.
Listen, when them COVID checks, not to sidetrack, when them COVID, what they call them, those checks.
Stimulus.
Mm-hmm. When them stimulus checks came, I took them checks and put them right in our home savings account.
Right, right.
And the next thing you know, we had enough money to
get
see.
Your home.
That's why I say, yeah, COVID had its disadvantages, but it had its advantages too.
Yes, it has.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it has.
It made it easier for us to purchase our home.
Right. I heard some ministers saying today they didn't even miss a beat because of COVID. Matter of fact, they accumulated more money.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pastor talking. He
mm-hmm.
said, you might not want to give me an offering now. He said, but that's okay.
Right.
Hold on.
Come in.
People don't under. We need a sign that says, okay. We need a sign that says, open the door. Come in. That's what we need. We need a sign that says, come in.
Yeah.
That's all right. That is such good news.
It is.
Got the building. That was so important.
Oh my gosh.
It was so important.
And the location is good too.
Well, good.
Yep. Right there on the west side. You know, we already do the Martin Luther King breakfast.
Right.
So here we are on the new road, Martin Luther King Avenue. There it is.
Isn't that something?
Ain't it?
Wow,
mm-hmm.
that's beautiful. That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you're if you're finished with that,
mm-hmm.
you are also running for city council.
Say it again. What'd you say?
You're also running for city council. I'm so proud of you, Dana.
You know what? Thank you. I am running for 4th Ward City Council.
Okay.
And I am excited. I have been attending the city council meetings for over a year now.
Okay.
It was on Zoom during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird thing was, so when you go to city council on Zoom, there's all these little boxes.
Right.
So some people I knew and some people I didn't know.
Right.
But every Monday at 6:30, I'll be on the calls, right? So then a few months ago, they opened it back up to be in City Hall. So then I got to put like face to face. I'm like, oh, that's that person. That's
right.
that person, you know, because I always want to associate, who the person with the name.
Right.
I enjoy learning about how our city operates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just amazing to me.
Right.
You know, I think we take it for I took it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took it for granted that our trash gets picked up every week. You know, I take it for granted that our streets get plowed every week. That our parks are taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the little things that I was taking for granted. And I was like, well, I can't complain about nothing if I don't know about it. Or
right.
I can't improve anything if I don't know about it.
Right.
So I very much so enjoy city council.
Okay.
I like the way it operates and how it works. Obviously, you know, there's independent, there's Democrat, there's Republican. But when it's all said and done, you know, everyone kind of makes their opinion or their statement or whatever they want to pass. through.
Right.
And that's kind of how it works. Mm-hmm. So if anyone that's listening, if you've never attended a city council meeting, they're held on Mondays at 6:30 in the city hall building on the second floor. And sometimes, you know, they start promptly at 6:30, first of all. Don't be late. And they are open to the public. You are welcome to come. But I will say, if you are a visitor and there is something that you want to address, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what the protocol is.
Okay.
So the protocol is, after the council has said, you know, what they wanted to say about whatever was on the agenda, mm-hmm. then they open it up to the public.
Right.
So if you have something to say, you raise your hand, and they will address, they'll address you, and then you walk up, and then you have to state your name, and you have to state your address.
Right.
Okay. And then you make a statement, or you ask a question.
Right. Right.
So just to kind of, it's informal, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but I enjoy it.
City government.
It is city government. I enjoy it.
And learning how it works.
And learning how it works.
It's
yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
One of the things that I enjoy most about this campaign mm-hmm. is, because this is new to me, I've never done anything like this before. However, neither have the people that are already in office. They
That's
had to do
true.
It too,
That's
right?
That's true. That's true.
But one of the things that I really enjoy is knocking on doors.
Okay.
Knocking on doors, you never know who you're going to meet, mm-hmm. and you never know what they're going to say to you. You don't know, right?
No, you don't know.
I have met some very interesting people. I've met some concerned citizens. I've met people that have invited me in the backyard, showed me their garden and their flowers, and it's not all doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, there is a bright side to our city. We have a beautiful city.
Yes.
But one of the things that I do love about campaigning is knocking on doors.
Okay.
And addressing issues, even though I haven't been elected yet.
Right.
I still follow through with any request that I receive.
Right.
When I'm knocking on doors. I have a quick story to tell you.
Okay.
Okay.
You got time.
So I was knocking on doors. My ward is the fourth ward. So it's pretty much like Silver Street all the way up to Barks, between Delaware Ave and David Street.
Okay.
So it just kind of goes up that way, right?
Right, right.
Excuse me. So I was knocking on this door, and I had kind of just started. So I was getting a feel for it. You know, you build your confidence up, first of all,
right.
knocking on strangers' homes.
True.
And I'm over that now.
Okay.
Because now I got a purpose, right?
Right. Yes, you do.
I got a purpose. So I didn't even knock on this person's door. They were outside on their porch. And we started having this conversation. I said, well, how are you doing today? My name's Dana Booker, and I'm running for city council in 4th Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I'm not doing too good. And I said, well, what's wrong? He said, I got a letter. I was like, here we go. So this gentleman got a letter because he had chickens, right?
Okay.
And his chickens were getting out and going into the neighbor's yard.
Okay.
Okay. So I said, but you got a letter, right? He said, yes. I said, I tell you what. So I just circled his address on my walk sheet,
mm-hmm.
and what his issue was. And when I went to city council, after city council meeting, because I haven't been elected yet,
right,
after city council meeting, I met with I think it was the safety director, and I asked him about this inquiry from right. the resident that got a letter about his chickens. And the first thing he said to me, he said, well, Dana, does he have a permit? I said, well, you know, I'm new to this. So I said he probably doesn't, or he would have understood why he got the letter, you
right,
know, if he had
right.
a permit. He said, well, one, he needs a permit, and second, you can have animals, but they have to be, like, for 4-H or for educational purposes.
Okay.
All right, so I took that information, and then he also emailed me the city permit application and the ordinances
okay.
under it, right?
All right.
So I printed that information out. I was so excited. I said, I'm going to help this resident, right? I'm going to help him. So I go over to his house, and he was outside in his garden. And I said, hey, how you doing? He said, hey. So he came over to my car, and we were talking. I said, I got paperwork for you. I said, they gotta be 100 feet away from your neighbors, and we gotta work on you getting your fence and everything. Right. And I said, you have to have them for a purpose, like right. a reason. I said, but I want to help you. He said, I got rid of them. I said, what? So now in my mind, I was like, I was really hoping I could help this person,
right, right.
But he found someone in Meeker.
Okay.
That took him, which isn't far. But he said, I found someone in Meeker. So basically, he understood. He knew he was going to have to get rid of him. And he did.
But he also found out that you would work for the people.
Yes, ma'am.
That was
yes,
yeah.
ma'am. And that was a good thing that came out of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he may run into other people and say, well, I know this lady.
Yeah.
Inner Booker.
That's right. Yep. Give me a call. I'll see what I can find out.
Right, mm-hmm. right. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So this is what has led you to run for city council, helping people.
The people, because we all have a voice, and I want people to feel comfortable and feel they can. I'm a safe person to talk to. I'm gonna listen, and I'm gonna try to find answers for you, and maybe hopefully solutions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't make any promises,
right?
But I definitely will be a presence
we'll
for
try.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause nothing fails but a try. If you don't try, you don't know.
Right.
You know.
Right. And then I got educated on, because the story behind having a permit, because it was only 15 years ago that they put that into existence, because I guess there was a family that had a horse.
Yeah,
and
I remember that
okay.
horse. Drive by that horse all the time outside grazing.
Okay.
Barnhart. Over there by Mace Temple.
Over there by Bennett.
Bennett.
See, uh-huh.
Bennett, that's the name of
and
it.
And that's what happened. I guess there were some people made some complaints for whatever reason. And the family out here they were very attached to the horse.
Yes, they were.
And so that is when they started. You had to have a permit. And
right.
then they came up with these ordinances.
Right.
So I actually got educated from knocking on doors.
Right.
And listening to the people.
Right.
So I got educated. So now I'll put that in my book, and I'm going to take that with me, too.
Absolutely.
And then the next time, you know, I may learn something else. So mm-hmm. and that's the part that I like about it.
Mm-hmm.
We have some great leaders in our community, and I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of, you know, making Marion a wonderful place to live
yes.
and raise your kids.
Absolutely.
Because it is.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yes, it is. And if it's not, it can be.
Amen.
Why you live there, you know, but Marion can be a great city.
Absolutely.
It's greater than what it is right
it
now.
It is. It
know?
Is.
Yes.
Great things can happen in small numbers.
Right.
And that's what I think of. We're a small community, but we know how to come together
yes,
when it's time
do.
To come together and take care of business.
Yes, we do.
And that's
Absolutely.
What I love about our community.
Well, great. I'm so glad you came. You were so excited.
I'm
so
always excited to come. Yes.
You have so much to share. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's just blows my mind. So let
yeah.
me ask you this while we have like 3 or 4 minutes.
What? I get
All
in
right.
here and time just fly by with you, Linda.
Martin Luther King breakfast. You
yes.
know, we're looking at that already.
Let's talk about it.
Are you going to be on the same protocol as you was 2021?
Yeah. So 2021, we partnered with Ohio State University,
right.
Marion, and Ohio State University, Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought their resources together, and we were able to do our MLK online.
Right.
And they did a fabulous job.
Yes.
We still did everything that we normally did. Instead of breakfast, we gave out sweet treat boxes.
Right.
Tara Dyer helped coordinate that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good program, or the sweet treat box. So
yes.
everybody got a sweet treat
I
box
got one. Yes.
before you watched it on, I think it was.
Wasn't it on Zoom?
It was Facebook.
Okay.
Facebook Live.
Facebook
That's what it was
Live.
Called, Facebook
okay.
Live. So as of right now, we are scheduled to have it like we normally do.
Okay.
we've partnered with the library, Marion Public Library, and they have a grant. They applied for a grant for a speaker for us. So we're hopefully going to be getting an author in instead of our traditional speaker.
Okay.
We'll have an author as our speaker,
okay,
coming from the Marion Public Library, preferably an African-American,
right.
Someone that could reach the youth in our community, because that's what it's all about, is
that's
the youth.
True. That's true.
So we're scheduled on that Monday, where everybody is off. We'll be at the Palace in January. And so we'll have breakfast, we'll transition over into the Palace Theater, and we'll have our youth presentation, awards and speeches, and then our speaker will come on. So you'll have to have me back on when I get, when the library lets us know who our speaker is going to be.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Great.
So that's on. We will start getting the kids to get excited about writing their poetry and their speeches.
Right.
So yeah, so we're trying, you know, we're not going to keep our fingers crossed. We're just going to keep on moving.
Keep on moving
forward.
Yep. Let it be what it is.
Yes, ma'am.
At the last minute, if you have to make changes, you already know what's ahead for
you. Yeah, we already know
yeah.
we can, we have other sources that
That's
we can
true.
Do.
That's true.
Yeah. And
God has really been moving this program and other entities in Marion, African American entities, right along, and I thank you for it. And we have support from our community.
Absolutely. We do.
That's beautiful.
We do.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We are out of time.
What?
Lovely Dana. And all your excitement and your news, you really made this show excellent today. And I
well, thank you
so
you.
Much.
Thank you.
We'll have to have you back soon because we want to stay up to date with what's going on.
Absolutely.
In the city. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to A Voice of the People live here with Linda Sims on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Tomorrow is Tuesday. Jeff Porter will be my guest. We will be talking about end times. Are we in the last days or not? There's so much to talk about. So stay tuned and tune in tomorrow at 4:15 to 5 p.m. Until next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated.
So when you're coming out the door with Lee Harvey Oswald handcuffed to you, you're there to protect him. Take me through that walk. What do you see? How did it happen?
All right, well, as I walked through the door, I could see, I've always made it a habit in my career, especially as a detective, if I went into a room where there's more one people around, I did a quick look over of all of them, up and down, and so I saw Ruby. He was standing there, and he was holding that pistol in his left hand, pressed against his leg, down just above his knee. Well, he was surrounded by police officers and reporters, and but none of them was looking down. They were all looking up head high. And I saw it. And as soon as I saw that, I was already within four or five steps of him by that time. And when I saw it, then I knew exactly what was going to happen. So I began my defense on it, trying to jerk Oswald behind me. And I was moving him behind me when he took two steps forward. And he put him in arm reach, and my reach, I reached over and grabbed him by the left shoulder and shoved back and down on him. But at the same time, of course, he'd switched that gun in his right